sensitive to you. I pray that you would open our understanding. Lord, put words in my mouth. Quicken our receiving of this word. I pray your will to be done in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This verse from the contemporary English version. I'm a King James version myself. I like the King James version, even with all the these and thous, and you know, it just seems normal to me. Amen. But I have to admit, sometimes other versions of the Bible do say things that express a clarity in that thought. Amen. John chapter 17, verse 13 from the contemporary English version says, I am on my way to you, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that my followers will have the same complete joy that I do. Amen. It is God's will for him to be in you, that you would know Jesus Christ. Amen. It is God's will for you to have joy. Praise the Lord. The atmosphere of our day, I know at work this last week, people were handing out Christmas cards and they were, you know, sending holiday greetings, and they were seemingly a little more friendly than other times of the year. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people having joy or nice friendly greetings, and I'm okay with the time of the year we call Christmas. Now, it's very possible Jesus may have, but I don't know that he was born on December 25th. I don't know that. No, probably not. But it is our society's celebration of the birth. And I am for the celebration of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm all for it. Amen. The world pauses to honor the birth of Christ. Much of the world does anyway. Even agnostic or anti-religious people, even the atheist recognizes to some degree this time of year. Amen. That we in our society call Christmas. I like it especially because families find a way to spend time together in many instances. Amen. Folks are at least a little kinder during the holiday season. I've found that, and I'm all for that. It is a time of giving. We are never more like Christ than when we are in a giving spirit. Amen. See, Jesus gave the greatest things that have ever been given. Amen. It truly is, in my understanding, in my estimation, it is truly one of the happiest times of the year. Now, I know there are people that are sad during it as well, but I do believe that it is a special time of the year. The Reverend Isaac Watts wrote the words to the song, Joy to the World, in the year 1719, if you can believe that. That's a long time ago. He wrote the words to that joy. He wrote the words to Joy to the World in 1719. Now, 100 years later, an American composer, Lowell Mason, put those words to music. 100 years later, you know the song. You know it's been around such a long time, I would almost think everybody here has heard Joy to the World before. Amen. Sing it with me if you are able. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I made it mostly through that without cracking up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's not an easy thing. Let's put a mic in your hand and see if you can sing in front of a crowd. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Jesus explained the purpose of his birth to the disciples, that they might know and have the same joy that Jesus had. Amen. He came into this world that we might know him, that we might have the greatest gift that has ever been given in all of mankind, that Jesus gave himself, amen, to us as a sacrifice for sin, amen, that we might be saved, amen. He gave truly the greatest gift ever. Amen. If there is anything that ought to characterize the life of a Christian, it is the joy. Someone say joy. The joy of the Lord. Amen. If you have a picture of a, I don't know if this is a real word, persnickety, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Ill-tempered, grouchy, grumpy, crabby Christian, it's a very poor witness of Christianity. Amen. Put a smile on your face and have a express a little joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's okay if you smile. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus visited the subject very often with his disciples. He wanted his joy to be complete and full, to be fulfilled in them. Amen. In us. He wants his joy to be full in you. Amen. In the Bible, the word joy, 165 times. It's pretty easy when you got your laptop. Just type the joy 165 times. 23 of those times were in the Gospels. He spoke of joy frequently. He wants us to have joy. Gladness, 47 times. Happy, 28 times. Peace, 429 times. Amen. God wants us to be full of joy, happy and glad, and have peace. As followers of Christ, we are filled with joy when we realize who we are. Amen. And what we possess, what we have. It is such a great privilege and an honor to know. And I'm talking about, I know who Jesus is. Amen. You know, if other people try to convince me of some other God or some other belief or some other religion or some other way or some other thinking, it's too late. I've already experienced. I know that I know that I know. And I'm absolutely sure that I know who Jesus is. Amen. He is the mighty God. Amen. He is the Holy One. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, it tells us that we are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I have a great inheritance. Amen. I have a great future. Amen. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. I know this life has ups and downs and ins and outs, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Amen. But after the end of my life, amen, I am absolutely sure of what is yet to come. It tells me in the book, amen, of a glorious future in Jesus Christ. Amen. Read the back of the book. We win. Amen. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we can walk in newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and verse 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Amen. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That great gift that God, Jesus, gave to us. You see, they didn't take his life. He laid it down. He gave it. Amen. He was a willing sacrifice for sin. Amen. And we can have that promise in our lives today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 55, it says, or wait, this verse teaches us that we were once helpless victims of death. It is true. Without Jesus Christ in your life, this world is out of control. You really don't have a fulfilling future of hope without Jesus Christ. Even if you're the richest person on earth, money will not save you. Even if you have an important name, if your parents were somebody, that doesn't do it for you. Amen. Your heritage, your money, your wealth. Some people are famous. But that doesn't do it for you. That's not going to guarantee you a better end. Amen. And then death comes. But now death has no hold on us. I can tell you, I am not afraid of death. Amen. There's been a few instances in my life where I came kind of close. Amen. Had a problem with a icy water in a lake one time, almost died. Had a problem in the hospital one time. It wasn't nice. But in all the troubles of life, the ins and outs, the ups and downs, I'm telling you that the end is better for me than my life. Amen. I am not afraid of death. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I know that Jesus has my life covered. Amen. That my work, that the effort that I do, the time in prayer, the time in preparation, the time in preaching is not in vain, but it is for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The greatest gift, you know, this is a season that many people have on their mind, a time of giving. Amen. And, you know, I like to give. I like to give to my family. I love to give to the causes that I support, to the church, to the kingdom of God. I enjoy giving. It's a part of the nature that God has given me. I want to give. But in comparison, my greatest gifts would be so seemingly insignificant in comparison to the gift that Jesus Christ himself gave for us. God's greatest gift of all time is the salvation that Jesus Christ provided for us. It's the greatest gift ever. Amen. It's the greatest gift ever given. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 9. Starts out kind of rough. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Starts out kind of rough. It's a picture of our world. There's many of us that were just like that. Verse number 11. And such were some of you. Amen. It's a picture of our world without God. In fact, those things are normal conditions in our world. Without God. And such were some of you, but ye are, now this is what changes us, washed. Someone say washed. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Amen. Amen. Verse 11 said, ye are wash, that's baptism, my friend. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's very specific. You just can't be baptized any way you want and be a follower of the Word of God. For the Word of God, the Bible, does tell us how we're to be baptized. It does tell us how this gift is applied. Amen. That's baptism. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a fabulously wonderful gift it is to be baptized. Amen. You know, our world would try to, you need to get over your hang-ups. And you know what? You know how I can get over my hang-ups? Is I can repent. That is, stop doing those sinful things. Turn from sin and turn to God. That's the first step. Repent. And then baptism in the name of the Lord. Now, last week I should have had the heaters in the baptistry on Saturday, but I didn't. I forgot. And the water was cold. But today, if you look at the top of the tank, it's covered with little water beads because the water underneath is so warm, it's vaporizing, and it's like a mini sauna. The water, we might have to let the top off to let some of the heat out. No. The water's very warm. We are expecting to have a baptism today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Maintenance guy. If you can get a hint. We need a little maintenance. We were moving things all around and this thing got bumped, I suppose. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me give you an Old Testament or a New Testament example. In John chapter 3, beginning to read at verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees, so he was religious. Religious doesn't save you. Being religious is not a guarantee to make it to heaven. In fact, there's a whole bunch of religious people that ain't going to make it. Now, that's not popular. I'm not going to win any brownie points for saying that. Some people would call that hate speech. But I'm your pastor, and I got to tell you how to get to heaven. Amen. If I don't tell you how to get to heaven, how are you ever going to get there? Amen. I gotta say it out loud. I got to tell the truth from the pulpit. I got to put the word of God in your hearing. You got to hear how to get to heaven and receive this greatest gift that has ever been given. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Excuse me. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he cannot enter. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Stop thinking that you're going to make it to heaven by being good on earth. It's not going to, you can't earn your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't get yourself good enough to be right with God. You and I, we all need Jesus to make it to heaven. Praise the Lord. Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and told him that he must be born again. Nicodemus asked, how could this possibly be? I can't go into my mother's womb. This carnality thinking is not going to get you to heaven. You're not going to go back into your mother's womb and be born again. He's talking about the Spirit. He's talking about we got to have a new way of life, a new way of living. We got to have a new walk. in our nature. Jesus told him that he must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Just putting it in real plain English. The water is baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And here is water. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are remitted. Anybody know what remitted is? That means the payment's made. The payment for sin that you yourself cannot pay. You know, it took a sinless sacrifice to pay for sin. And all of us have come short of the glory of God and have sin in our life because of our carnal, wicked ways. We read that whole list of all kinds of things people do. And I would say, in fact, I know for certain every one of us come short of the glory of God and have sinned before God. Amen. We were born into sin. Amen. Notice that Jesus said, you must be born again. There's no place for argument. You're not going to argue with Jesus. And if you do, you're arguing against yourself because it doesn't change anything. Your argument doesn't change what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells us how to be saved. We must be born of the water, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and of the Spirit. God wants us to have His Spirit. Amen. He wants us to be and to live like He wants us to live. Amen. To be filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, even the verse hangs on the wall right behind me. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It was a question because how am I supposed to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? How do I get this greatest gift that has ever been given? How do I get the gift that Jesus gave of Himself on the cross at Calvary? How can that be applied to me? It's a really great question. In fact, every one of us should be asking that question of ourselves. We should be desirous to know what the answer is. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter answered the question so explicitly, so clearly, so plainly, so understandably. Everyone. It's just in one verse of Scripture. It's in a short one verse answer. Men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer is repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall. Not maybe, might, or sometimes. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's God's plan. It's His gift. When one stops to consider this marvelous, wonderful, perfect gift that God has given to us, what a wonderful experience it is. How could we be anything less than joyful when we experience it? In fact, I have seen literally many hundreds, I would even say thousands of people be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've seen the fulfillment with my own eyes of this verse of Scripture, Acts 2:38, many, many, many times. And without exception, no one has ever been sad when they experience this gift. Not one time in all of my experience, not one time anywhere in the Bible, I've never met anybody that was sad when they experienced Jesus in His great gift. Amen. It is a joyful experience every single time. Amen. Don't deny yourself that which is your birthright as a child of God. He wants you to experience this great joy. The joy of the Lord belongs to the children of God. Amen. It belongs to us. It's a promise unto you. Refuse to be satisfied with a joyless life. There is more for you in Jesus Christ. Amen. A Christless life will always be joyless. Amen. My mind can't conceive. Maybe it's my upbringing. You know, I was raised in church. You know, I used to sleep under the pew when I was 3 years old. I was brought to service. It wasn't a maybe or a might if we were going to church. If the church doors were open, we were headed to church. Rainstorms, snowstorms, northern Wisconsin, 40 below zero. No, but I didn't do it barefoot both ways either. I had nice warm boots. But it has been my custom throughout my life. Amen. And my children, I want to say the very first week of every child's life, that child was in church. Mama got out of the hospital. We went to church. That week and the next week and the next week. And the 52 weeks of that first year, or maybe we went on vacation for a week. Probably did. But it was our custom to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And you know what? It's brought joy in my life. Amen. It taught my children who Jesus is. Amen. And now my grandchildren are praying and some are even baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. God is extending from one generation to the next the things that are of God. Amen. It's God's plan for our life. It's how life is supposed to be. I don't know of a life any other way. And you can have this life. Amen. You can have the greatest gift that's ever been given. Amen. You can have this great joy that Jesus Christ gave to us. Amen. As a child of God, your joy has nothing to do with the accumulation of things. You know, there's a stupid old saying that says the one who gets the most toys wins or something like that. That's ridiculous. New cars in Connecticut turn into rust heaps. Eventually. Unless you trade them in and get another new car. Right, Lavinia? Sorry. It's not the accumulation of things. It's not in... You know, love her dearly. My granddaughter went to the lady's Christmas thing, and she got a package, and Grandma recycles gift boxes, you know, from 1 year. She'll put something else in it. And, well, the box that she put this stuff in was from my a little fan for my heater. And Elizabeth got that box. She opened it. Oh, what is a use? She was so disappointed and sad. Ooh, what am I going to do with a fan? It's so she was so disappointed because, you know, it wasn't something she wanted. Actually, I was really happy with that gift. It goes on my wood stove. It's a fan that works automatically on the heat. It's wonderful. I thought it was a great gift. But my granddaughter didn't think so. But inside the box was stuff that she really liked. Amen. So that changed everything, right? Well, maybe you got to open up the box. You got to open up the box and receive the gift. Amen. Amen. Some people think, well, I don't like the idea of religion and, you know, open up the box. Amen. Try it yourself. Amen. It's a better gift than you ever could have possibly known. It's the best gift ever. Open the box. Try it out. How are you going to know what it feels like to be baptized if you don't want to get baptized? Amen. You got to believe that He is. And that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He will reward you. Amen. It's not about stuff. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk describes the utter stripping of material prosperity. What if you lose everything? Then the beautiful verses that follow concludes and tells us that our joy is in the Lord. Verse 18, yet, even though all this stuff went bad, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I'll tell you what, it's the Lord that gives me my joy. Amen. Not the present in the box. Amen. Not the thing that someone gave me. I've been given lots of gifts over the years, but the greatest gift I've ever received is from Jesus. The greatest thing I've ever received is the Holy Ghost. Amen. One man considers himself to be rich, yet has really nothing that is permanent. Nothing in this world lasts. New cars rust. If you get a new house, guess what? You're going to be doing fixer-uppers in not very long. Stuff starts going bad right away. Get your dream house and get ready to start working. It just happens that way. That's just the way it goes. It's life. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our next text in John, our opening text, in John. Note that Jesus did not pray that you would merely be happy or even that you would escape grief. That wasn't the prayer. He prayed that you would have the same joy that He has. A divine joy. A joy that comes from a deep and unwavering relationship with God. It is a joy that is grounded and so firmly in our relationship with God that nothing can change it. Amen. My joy is not dependent on my job. It's not dependent on if I'm popular. It's not dependent on how much money is in the bank account. It's not dependent on these things of this earth. It's not dependent on my flesh. I might get sick, and I have, and I do sometimes. I might get hurt. I might be hurting. But I still have joy in the Lord. Amen. God does not promise a temporary happiness. In fact, the Bible assumes that problems will come in our life. God promises lasting joy for all those who put their faith in Him. This kind of joy stays with us despite life's inevitable problems. Problems will come, but I can still have joy. Amen. True joy is not based on things, on money and education and people. Lasting joy is a product of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's a promise from God. It's His joy that we can have. Musicians, would you come? By closing last two verses, would you stand with me? Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And then Acts chapter 13, verse 52. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can have all the joy that you need in Jesus Christ. Amen. And finally, Acts chapter 13, verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given. Amen. In fact, why don't we gather around the front? Amen. In just a few more moments, we're going to have a baptism. Okay. Man, if you'd go ahead and take her to get ready to be baptized. We're going to sing a song while we wait for the preparing for the baptism. Amen. Come on up front. Come on and let's join together in the closing of our service. And let's recognize, let's worship God together for just a few moments. Would you? Come on and join us. Let's love the Lord together.